Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jen, who is here to speak with us of her experience of working with the mentor in her practice. Welcome, Jen.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Can you hear me all right?
I can. Vice versa?
Okay.
You can hear me okay? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So I understand that kind of through working with self-facilitation, the two-handed recording, and those sorts of things, you've stumbled on a very fun way to have the mentor be really a companion throughout your day, and that's having a pretty big impact on your practice and your life. And we thought it would be really fun to have you talk about that on Good News.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to share. Yeah. I think what I've been seeing is and practicing with is as I start to have a newer or, you know, a deepening understanding of the process of facilitation, that I've seen how that can apply to my relationship with the mentor. And I think specifically in, you know, in coming to understand facilitation as, you know, a facilitator, sort of meeting the person where they are, you know, and having this sense of like, you know, let me meet you where you are. Let me take you by the hand and let's both look in the same direction and go toward wherever you'd like to go to.
You know,
rather I was just going to say, rather than, I think, you know, like the facilitator or the mentor is kind of over there and they're like, come on over here. Let me bring you to this place of enlightenment over here.
Where I think you should be or could be or. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. And that's a good way to think about it because that's likely just a projection of conditioning, you know, wherever the mentor or the facilitator is perceived as being is probably is not real.
Yeah. You know, I was just really seeing as you were laying that out, Jen, that it's no wonder that really the practice as we do practice in this practice really is facilitation, right? Because we're each learning to be that for ourselves, to be that that conscious compassion awareness, that accepting presence that is with us in everything, isn't trying to change us, isn't trying to fix us. It's not self-improvement, but simply that huge place of learning to be with ourselves in compassion, in unconditional love.
Yeah, I remember once years ago, Sherry saying to somebody on Open Air about, you know, they were talking about meditation and how sitting down on the cushion, you can literally just have, it's like sitting down and hanging out with a friend. You know, like there's not something to achieve, not something to do. And you certainly, that doesn't mean you can't have goals or intentions, you know, that the intention is to follow the breath. And stay still and all of those things, but there's a different tone, I guess, to doing things with like a friend beside you who's interested in helping you take the next step, as opposed to some bigger structure that's like imposed on you and you know that's all this pressure to accomplish.
Right, exactly so. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that's some of what you kind of almost stumbled on in a way as you've been exploring all of this, that you've kind of come across this really fun way to have that presence right with you all the time.
Yeah, it's, you know, I a couple of examples, I guess, that might help illustrate it. You know, in thinking of like, you know, I'm a planner. I like to plan and organize things. So there can be a real tendency for that process to be hijacked by conditioning. And, you know, with simple things, like I want to get more exercise, so suddenly that becomes something, you know, that needs something elaborate and that I'm pretty much guaranteed to not follow through on at some point, you know, because it's too elaborate.
Right, exactly, which is the point, right? That's why to make it elaborate. Exactly.
Yeah, so there's the whole setup from conditioning. But instead, I have been watching things happen, like, so there's like this intention to get more exercise and to, you know, so then just by having that and sort of talking about that with the mentor, there's then an awareness it's almost like there's something, some, you know, whatever that is, maybe the mentor, watching for opportunities for that to happen. And then it'll just drop in, like, oh, you know, I'm walking to the kitchen. Let me drop down and do a couple push-ups, you know, and, you know, or something like, oh, I've need to go to the store, and instead of parking in the front, let's park as far away as possible and walk to the store. And, you know, I think some of these maybe are things we've heard before, but it's not like I'm planning them, you know, it's like they just, like the information is there, but the mentor is just like, hey, how about right now? And how about right now? And then I'm getting my steps by the end of the day, surprisingly, without having to be like, okay, I got to go walk 3.5 miles now.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, isn't it? And, you know, one of the things that really stuck out for me as you were saying that is in being in conversation with the mentor, so in setting those intentions, which is essentially saying to life, saying to the mentor, I'd really like, here's what I want for my life. I want to take good care of the body. I want to eat in certain ways. I want to get exercise, you know, whatever those things are. And we're essentially saying, I'm open to help with that. And then I just love the way you describe that, that when we do that, when we're in that conversation, then the mentor, life, is looking for those places to cue us. Oh, hey, guess what, Jen? You could do a couple push-ups right now on the way to the ha-ha. And then it becomes fun. And it just happens naturally in the course of our day instead of, as you say, setting us up for this big, grim plan that we're going to rebel against, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it makes things that were once maybe enjoyable or could be enjoyable that had been taken away, the joy had been taken out of them, it brings the joy back in. And the one example I'm thinking of for that is that is with music, and especially with, like, love songs. And, you know, being single, that had become kind of torturous to, like, be singing these songs about all these love and relationships I feel like I'm never going to have. And it just would trigger conditioning every time. And a few months ago, it occurred to me I'm singing one, you know, along with the music, and I thought, I should just sing this to myself. And so now I just sing it all to myself, and it's fantastic, you know? And so I got the joy back of listening to this music or participating in this music without it being, you know, without having to make a plan, again, without having to, like, plan. It was just the, you know, oh, the mentor was right there to be like, you know what, this is really for you, you know?
And that's what I love about what you're saying. And, you know, I so often hear Sherry talking about that too, that, you know, we're so habituated to be in a conversation. And if we're not paying attention, that conversation is going to be with conditioned mind. That's just how it works. So instead to train ourselves to be in the conversation with the mentor and to have the mentor, you know, guiding us and leading us and suggesting where to put our energies and attentions and all that, it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's sort of having this, just being open and having the, you know, I think one of the questions that seems to come up for me is when I notice the conditioned conversation at this point, it's like, wait a minute, what are my other options? What are my other options? And I may not be able to see that in the moment because I'm in the habit of the conversation, but I get a little bit of a crack enough to say, like, wait, there's got to be another option. And then that's the opportunity for, you know, all the practice that's been built up, all the, you know, previous insights, the help from the mentor to just slide right in.
Is brilliant. That is brilliant. What are my other options? Because, you know, the image that just dropped in for me was, you know, you go to a doctor, the doctor says, oh, well, you have such and such. And it's the, you know what, I want a second opinion here. And that's what you're doing, right?
Exactly.
You're saying to the mentor, can you give me the alternative, please? Because I know
that's right. That's right. And because it's life, it has, like, an endless number of alternatives. I haven't run into anything yet, but that's been, you know, where it's been nothing, you know.
Right, nothing. Exactly. Yeah. There isn't anything. And it's that very movement of there has to be another option here. That is the disidentification. And as you say, there's always going to be something from the mentor. So just that movement of turning to it, boy, when we learn that skill, that's huge. That turns everything around.
Yeah, and just to wrap it back to the idea of facilitation, it's sort of like that's often what I feel like I do in facilitation, you know, like when I'm looking for guidance, like, okay, I can't actually see. Could you make a suggestion? You know, could you help me walk? Could you walk through this with me? Because I can't exactly see where I'm going. Yeah.
Oh, that's also brilliant, Jen, because then what we're all learning to do in practice, and I think this is the brilliance of recording and listening, is that we do that. You know, we call into the radio show, we come on retreat, in whatever form, we do reach out and say, hey, I feel like I'm stuck here, or not even stuck, I just would like, you know, that second opinion, and that we do that for each other, and then ultimately we're learning we can absolutely do that internally with ourselves, because as
that's
you say,
right.
There is that second opinion. It is available there. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
As Ashwini would say, we're just practicing calibrating to it, right? Just
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. That was just, you know, when we heard about that, just thought, oh, that's enough. It's so fun to look at it from all these different angles and hear how, you know, all these different nodes of intelligence stumble on, you know, different ways of looking at it and talking about it, and it's just so fun to share all those with Sangha. So thank you for being willing to do that.
Oh, happy to do it. I've received far much more, so thank you.
Exactly. We're always in debt, right? The more we give, the more
exactly.
we get.
Exactly.
So what can you do? You just have to give in and just receive.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Jen, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
That was fun. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jen.
Yes.
I'm great, and yourself?
I'm great, too.
You sound
glad
to
be here.
Do you have a little bit deeper voice this week?
Just the teeniest bit, I think.
Just a little more toward baritone.
Just a teeny bit, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you're feeling okay?
Feeling okay. I think conditioning sometimes goes after my voice, and this is about as far as it gets. So I like to nip it in the bud when I can.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good. That's very good. All right. Happy to hear
that. Maybe a minor cold, but doing the Huber cure and working to take care of myself.
Good. Excellent. Good.
Yes. Yes. I have announcements here, unless you want to head us off in a certain direction to start.
No. Announcements are good.
Okay. There are just a few slots left in the Hero's Journey Retreat. That's September 1st through 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This fun and unusual retreat with you, Sherry, and Ashwini will explore the nature of the path we in spiritual practice are walking together.
Yes. I'm surprised that the phrasing is a few slots. I thought there was one. That's okay. If there are a few, we'll take a few more.
Got it. And join you, Sherry, for a fun and interactive workshop debunking the extremely popular and age-old myth of too busy, not enough time. This workshop will be held Saturday, October 22nd at the beautiful Namaste Retreat Center in Felton, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And all proceeds and donations will benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes, they will.
Yes. And two new group coaching opportunities will be starting up in September. Conversations with the Mentor beginning September 21st, and Mornings with the Mentor beginning September 28th. These weekly group sessions offer support and accountability for your recording and listening practice commitment.
And we hear wonderful things about them, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, they call into the show and tell us about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get support for Catching Conditioning's Bamboozles with the Empty Teacup Challenge, which is running now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 15th. Be on the lookout for Bamboozles and record how many you're spotting on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 8, Collusion, and the assignment for week 3.
And it's a good one. It's so fun to get them in the mail, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
I just
it's great.
That. It's great. It's just the best.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is really helpful. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? I think you're there.
This is Laura from San Diego.
Hi, Hi. Laura. We don't have a very good connection.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you hear me any better?
Very scratchy and very
okay.
Scratchy.
Hold on 1 second. Let me try. Unplug my mic. Is that any better?
Yeah. Not it's not perfect, but I think it's going to be better. So thank you. What's going
okay.
on?
Well, I haven't called into the radio show in a really long time because I'm not usually available on Tuesdays, but I'm on a little vacation, and I had the time, and it just dropped in about 15 minutes before the show to call. So I thought I'd
oh, good.
Get it to go.
Yeah, good. Thank you. What's going
and,
on?
Hold on, my son is calling in. I got to ignore the beeping. I just wanted to check in. It's I just feel really grateful. I feel this last couple of years, I've really plugged into practice in a way that I've never plugged in before, and so. I just feel really grateful and really so appreciative of all of the offerings that practice has for us. And so, I mean, there really can be an abundance of just can't really ever have the excuse of there is no support.
Right. I just can't do this on my own any longer. We can't say that.
not even close. And and the place I'm really looking at now is recently you talked about being intentional with intentions. And on vacation, I can often slip out of habits that are practice commitments, around exercise, around meditation, or, you know, any other the other things that are helpful to support this human being around, especially when I'm around, or it can be any vacation, but I'm also around family on this trip. And so this day one of that being really intentional, my intention. And it feels good to commitments and not fall for that. Well, I'll fit that in sometime today.
Yes. So I happen to know, as you happen to know, that you're participating in that crazy money retreat that where you're doing parallel to everything else, right? And so one being intentional, big part of that, huh? And that whole notion of not allowing conditioning to take any part of my day, of my life, for itself under the guise of relaxation, resting, being on vacation, taking it easy, kicking back, and because with a focus on being intentional, what we realize is that is all we're saying is we want to be present in each and every moment of our lives, and that content is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right? So
yep.
if you look at your day, you know, before you end this day, the 30-day retreat, Making Change for Good, so that kind of structure is so good for this kind of thing. So you look at your day and how it went, and you celebrate your successes. You make your recordings about everything that you saw and realized and what you feel really good about and enjoyed and all of those kinds of things. And then you look at the next day and what are the things in that next day that you want to be intentional about, the commitments that you're going to make for yourself, for your practice, to be present and aware throughout your day. And there isn't anything in there in the category of, oh, I'm sure I'll be able to work that in. Because what we realize is those are the very things that are the most important for us in being the person that we choose to be in our lives. Right? So meditation, on vacation, I'm certainly going to have time during the day to meditate and to exercise and to, right, to do the other things that I really am committed to take care of myself. I'll be able to do all that time. Because when conditioned mind looks at the next day, it's a vast amount of time. Mm-hmm. Like it's all day. And what are you going to be doing? Well, nothing really. So of course you'll be able to. But no day ever goes like that. But we get up and we're in the fray.
Yep.
And we lay it out, this is when I'm going to do this in the morning if you don't want to be too hemmed in. You know, between breakfast and lunch, I'm going to make sure to do these things. Or I'm going to get up a little bit early before the rest of the family so that I can meditate before it gets crazy or whatever it is. And you're bringing intention and conscious awareness to your choices.
Exactly so. And what I found is that if, or what just dropped in when you said that was, when I don't schedule things, basically I'm turning it over to conditioning of whether or not it's going to happen.
That's right. That's well stated. I mean, and that's what we're being encouraged by conditioning to do all the time is turn our lives over to conditioning, right? Again, under the guise of, oh, you know, what is small pain? Don't get so regimented and natural.
Yes.
Oh, relax.
Yep.
Oh, I might have went away.
No, you're there. Did I go away?
I'm there. Okay. You went away for a second.
Ah.
For me, I don't know if you went away for everyone.
I was right here, Laura. intentional. Go ahead.
Yes. And I want to give a little plug for the money retreat for me. It has really brought this it has brought practice to the forefront of my life with content that I have had up until this retreat had yet to take on. Money was never, kind of always got left alone because it felt too big. And so it's not just about money. For me, I mean, it's looking at my value and worth and that conditioning had put on me around it. And so because of the structure of this retreat, there is so much accountability built in if I will take advantage of it.
Yes, and that that is such a good point, because what we get to see is when we don't.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is really illuminating.
Oh, it's humbling in a really powerful way.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we talk about it as facing the fear and the resistance and the limitations, we're talking about how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate puts us into a container and makes us believe that that container is something we have created.
Oh, 100%. My container was so small, and I didn't even realize it was small until I bumped up against these boundaries, quote unquote, that conditioning had put on me to say, nope, you can't. We're not going past that one.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And that bringing of conscious awareness, the intentional focus on my choices. Choices are not control, right? That we have no idea what might happen, but we can know what we choose, and we can prove to ourselves that in a shockingly high percentage of the cases, life will absolutely go along with what we choose. And the way we can know that now, even without proving it to ourselves, is that life is currently going along with our choices. Our choices exactly have created the life we have right now, and our life perfectly reflects our choices.
Yeah. Well, and Sherry, I don't know if this fits with that, but what how I've been kind of checking in to see, to get like a little reality check of what I'm listening to, is my energy level. And so when my energy is low, I'm listening to something. I'm in some kind of conversation of not enough, something wrong, should be something different, something. And I'm finding when I feel like I'm more centered, I'm more with life, I'm more listening to the heart or the mentor, there is plenty of energy.
Yes, exactly. That is such an important thing to realize. That actually all we need to pay attention to is our energy level. The story is, oh, it's too hard, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do it, it's too much, whatever that kind of story is. But the reality is that the energy is going to something other than well-being. When the energy is going to well-being, I have plenty of strength, plenty of time, plenty of energy, plenty of everything to do exactly what I choose to do.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Enjoy your time and enjoy your choices. And celebrate them, please.
I will. I will.
Good. Good. All
thanks,
right.
Michael.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. That was a fun conversation, Sherry. I love that idea of being intentional about our intentions. Otherwise, it's defaulting over to conditioning.
Mm-hmm. And subtle, kind of below the radar. It's just happening. It's being done to us. We could say it that way. It's being done to us all the time, and we have no idea. That's what makes practice challenges so important, because it's only when we go up against what the voices are saying, that we begin to encounter those walls in that container, right?
Yes.
Otherwise, we just go along in the story, believing that the story is true and that we're making the choices for ourselves. And it's so rarely the case.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sherry, sometimes you sound a little bit further away, and sometimes you sound closer to the phone. I'm not sure if that's just the connection or.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
How do I sound right now?
Keep talking for a sec.
Okay. How do I sound right now?
You sound further away.
I sound further away.
Like as if you were holding the phone away from your mouth there. And sometimes you sound closer.
Yeah, sometimes I'm closer. Okay.
You sound a little better. You sound better now. So.
Okay. I sound better now?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to move a muscle. I'm going to stand right here and not move a muscle.
Okay, perfect.
Go ahead. Here we go.
All right. Let's get another call here.
But keep me posted, Michael, if I go away again.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol from California.
Well, hello, Carol. How are you doing?
I just switched off speaker. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you great.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm calling because I called in a year ago with an assignment that was given to me from the Fear Book about avoidance versus over-engaging. And we talked about going out into new situations and looking at how avoidance shows up. And so I did that. I went on a lot of you could say workshops where I didn't know the people and some new situations and events. And, wow, that was a good way to see it, you know.
Wow, you saw a lot.
I saw a lot. And I'm really getting the idea that the content doesn't really make a difference because each time the exact same process shows up. And so that's interesting to see. It doesn't matter who or where. And at that time, I had been on a hike, and I dumped the man on the trail because I just was being avoidant. And so I think it was just really, really a good exercise to watch and see. And every once in a while, have a little objectivity and be the observer. And I'm not sure where I want to go with this, but I just wanted to check in because I'm seeing the same process. I'm getting ready to go to a retreat again in Pennsylvania. And so I'm seeing all that same, I would put it in quotes because I think we're not supposed to call it anxiety, but the feeling of sensations of energy. And it's been, like I went to one last June, the Nothing Wrong With You retreat at the monastery, and then 2 weekend retreats. And I see the exact same story each time. Maybe this is, I know I'm rambling, but maybe this is what I wanted to say.
No, you're not rambling. No, you're not rambling. Yeah,
okay.
This is perfect. You're articulating the process perfectly. Go.
Okay. So there's a part of me that wants to out this thing because I'm getting ready to go to a retreat, and there's a lot of resistance. And so what I notice is there's this thing that drops in and it says, oh, yes, that's a great, that would be great. And then a few weeks later when the okay comes, then the resistance starts to come. And then this time it was, well, I'm in California. I can't take space from somebody out in the East Coast. That's for them. And then the mentor was kind of saying, well, you know, those are mature people, they'll know to tell you if, you know, you don't have, if there's, it's not for California people. You know, that crazy stuff.
Thank goodness for the mentor.
You know, and that's a process. That was a huge process of letting go and stepping outside of the tight control of conditioning's had me in all day because I wanted to make a call. And I don't know, the symptoms were almost too much, but I dialed anyway. So anyway, I'm watching this process, and it is the same process, no matter who or where or what the event is, just to try to put horror stories, and not even in words, but in pictures sometimes, you know, the plane's going to blow up, the building's going to collapse, and you will be at fault. If you hadn't made that choice, you wouldn't be doing this, but you made that choice, so you're going to get punished. It's kind of the scenario.
Wow.
And so to come through that and just go, okay, these are really uncomfortable symptoms. I don't think I'm having a heart attack, but it does feel like that. So why don't I just pick up the call phone and just like you were talking to the other person, we encounter the walls only when we're stepping out of conditioning.
Yes.
If not, then it's pretty much smooth sailing.
Yes. Yes, you can have a really small, you can have a really small life. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you never go up against conditioning, you're probably allowed to, and that's really, that is what Laura was pointing at. You know, you can have a job. And you can make money. You can make enough money to be okay, right? And you can live somewhere, and you can probably have friends and a car, you know, like that, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good, right? It's only if you want something other, right? Like you want to fly to Pennsylvania to do a retreat. Now you're going too far. Now you're going against what keeps you, what says, well, you can have a car, but not that car. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I don't know enough about your life to know what your circumstances are, but just generally, if we go with kind of the gist of it, you know, it's okay to have a car, but you can't really have the car you want, or you can't have a new car, or you can't have a whatever it is, or you can live somewhere but not where you really want to live, and you can't really do the things that you really want to do. It really was in the wrong place, but you know what I mean. You can have an okay life. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But if you want the life that you actually want, if you want to go after what your heart longs for, then you're going to run into that conditioning that's there to stop you. And, yeah, it's going to show you horror stories and threaten you with car wrecks and plane crashes and every kind of horrible thing that could possibly happen to you. Because if you're meant to believe those stories and keep making little decisions that it tells you to make. So here's the next one. We've talked about this last time, but here's the next one. And that is to realize that those sensations that you have been taught to believe mean no, you shouldn't, you can't, don't you dare, actually mean yes. Yes, you can. This is the direction. This is where you're meant to be heading. It's exciting. It's thrilling. You're really alive. Your body is lit up.
Wow. Well, that puts a whole really great shift on it.
And can you see how that's so?
I can, because just before.
Oh, go ahead. Just before.
Well, just before, you know, I got a sensation that you're going to be next, and I was. And I was like, I can hang up now. Please hang up, you know. And so, but there was that thing that dropped in, like, oh, well, because I hear people talk about, you know, it's exciting. It's not fear. It's exciting. It's a sensation that means something different, like you just said. So I had the thought, well, then why not go through this, you know?
Yes.
If
yes.
Makes any sense.
Oh, yes, it does, because as soon as you get that, as soon as you get that the voices, the sensations, all of that stuff is attempting to keep you small and controlled. It's controlling you. So when you run into what it's doing to stop you and you just keep going, you win.
Yeah. Okay. That's just great. That's just what I needed to hear.
Just and the other thing about it, so it's, you know, and the plane is going to blow up and it'll be your fault. Well, those voices don't know what's going to happen next. They don't. I can't remember. I was just talking with somebody about it recently, and it's an old game that we play in practice, you know, where the I remember what it was. And this person has a commute, and there are many ways to get from home to work and work to home. And if the person gets stuck in traffic, then the beatings start. You should have gone such and such. Why didn't you go such and such? If you did, you'd be home by now. Well, what we talked about is, okay, every time you get in the car, ask the voices to pick the route.
Yeah.
And of course, what we'll get is, you know, they're going to be in this awful position. There you are, stuck in traffic, and all they can say is, well, you shouldn't have listened to us. Which is a really important piece of information to get. At that point, we say, that's correct. I shouldn't have, and I'm not going to any longer. Because nobody knows where the traffic is going to be. Nobody.
Yeah. And in doing this, the awareness practice, it's beginning to open up a sense of in pieces, the compassion, that even if a bad thing happens, that compassion is still an option. It's still present in that situation.
That's right. And so what you say to that human being who has been so frightened by conditioning, hey, we'll be together. You know, one day something's going to blow up. One day we're going to die. But we'll be together. And we're going to have the best possible time between now and then.
Yeah.
Because listening to conditioning, staying small, does not keep us safe. It doesn't. That's an illusion. If that worked, then everybody living small, little, controlled by conditioning lives would never die. Right? But they die right along with the rest of us. And so to go out there and just say, all right, I don't know how much longer I have, but by golly, between now and then, I'm going to do whatever my heart longs for. I'm going to make my list, and I'm going to start through it. And when the voices scream, I'll know it's the right thing to do.
That is such a shift. Mm-hmm. That's such a key right there, because it keeps on the eyeball looking out to the side at conditioning. You know, like, what about now? Like a toddler with their mom, they're trying to be independent, but the eye is still on the mom, you know. So that kind of gives a little bit of cracks the shell a little bit for me to hear you say that.
Yep. And you know, you don't have to start with the, you know, you don't have to sign on with SpaceX to be one of the first people to go to the, up to the, whatever that is up there in space, you know, that you, just little things. When it says, no, you can't do that. Well, look and see, is it harmful? Would it be hurting anything? Would it be a terrible thing to do? Then I'm going to do it. Why? Because the voice says not to. That's what I'm practicing. Voice says you can't do that. I'm doing it.
I love that.
You know? Yeah, the voice says, no, you can't do that. You can't have that. You can't buy that. You can't go there. You can't make that phone call. You can't write that letter. You can't, whatever it is. You can't do that. And you look to your heart. Ask the mentor, is there any harm in this? Is there any reason I can't do this? I shouldn't do this? If you get there's no harm in that, do it.
That's a great guidance and sort of a guidepost. It just really shifted for me.
And listen, don't wait a year to give me a report on this, okay?
Okay, thank you. It was great talking to you. I'm so glad. That was really, really helpful.
Good Lord willing, we'll be together in Pennsylvania very soon.
Yes, very soon.
Yeah, okay,
all right.
Thanks, Carol.
You have a good evening.
Night.
Thank you.
Thank
good night.
You, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Sounds like just do it. Just go for it, Sherry.
Absolutely. You know, life is saying, yes, yes, yeah, yes, of course, yes, yes, yes. And ego is saying, no. Yeah. We're yes-like people.
Yes, and life is short, as you often remind us. So now's the time.
This is it. Now's the time.
This is it. Mm-hmm. This is it.
Mm. Yeah. And again, you know, the point that Carol and I were talking about, you know, we're not talking about doing harmful, crazy things. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what people are controlled about. In fact, if anybody gets an idea to do something harmful, usually conditioning is just absolutely silent on that, right? Yeah, sure, go ahead and have that sixth shot of tequila. That'd be a good idea.
Yes.
Right? So anything like that, eat that second piece of cake. Whatever it is, conditioning doesn't have anything to say about stuff like that until afterwards, right? But if it's for your heart, if it's for you, if it's going to make you happy, make you feel good, make you a friendlier, kinder person, a more generous, grateful person, nope, can't do that. None of that. Got to be small and stingy and frightened and No, we don't. We do not.
Correct. Yeah, that's my experience too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. Sherry, let's hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes, and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then Programs to find Zen Awareness Coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Right. You know, that coach was talking about that very thing, right? Having the life your heart desires.
Having the life your heart desires, right in this very moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see who's
great.
Next.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Art.
Hey, Art. How
hey.
Are you?
Good, Sherry. I'm back.
Good. What's going on?
Wow, I'm in a big crisis. I guess I am. At least that's what... That's what the sensations are telling me. And I'm not, you know, and I'm practicing instead of acting out. and it's the fall, so it's time for my wife to go back to Florida. She was here all summer. It's been great. But that's 1,000 miles away, and she's going to try to come back every weekend and maybe try to sell the house and maybe come back up here. But the kids are up here with me, and I'm glad for that. High school, you know, one in high school, staying here. And so just the voices are telling me, okay, Art, this is it. You know, she's not interested anymore. She's going to work down there. I don't know if you remember some of that content. She's going to keep working down there, and she's not going to come back. And she's been telling you she doesn't want to be with you the whole time anyway. And, you know.
So Art, let me see if I can reframe this just a tiny bit.
Kay.
You're not in a big crisis. You're in a big conversation.
I'm in a big conversation. Yeah.
You know, crises are much harder to deal with than conversations.
Okay. Say more, please.
Well, for instance, say you have two kids.
I've got two kids, and my wife has two kids, and so two in college, two in high school.
Okay, and the two in high school are with you?
One's with me, and one's with his mom, just a mile away. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So a crisis would be your wife left, the child left. You lost your job, and the house is going to be repossessed.
Right.
That's a crisis.
Yeah.
That's a crisis.
Yeah, that's not happening.
My wife has been telling me, although she never opened her mouth apparently and said this, my wife has been telling me that she doesn't want to be with me. Okay? That's a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm wondering how I'm colluding with it.
Well, you're listening to it. You're believing it. You're entertaining it. Mm. You're in the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's that simple.
And it is that simple. It really is that simple.
Wow.
It, in fact, it's the equivalent of if you said to me, you know, this political stuff is driving me crazy. I mean, I wake up in the morning and there it is on the television, and it's on all day long. They're just yammering away. They're completely crazy. I go to bed at night. They're still yammering away.
Uh-huh.
I'm losing my mind, and I say to you, Art, turn off the television.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's really helpful. Yeah, so let me reflect back to you. Can I reflect back to you what I thought I heard?
Yes, and then we'll go with the next step.
Yeah, okay, great. What I heard you say was if I'm listening to a hurtful conversation, then I can just change the channel, listen to something else.
That's right. And so what might you listen to instead?
Oh, I've been listening to The Mentor all day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And to the shows. I've been listening to archives and yeah.
And so how did this conversation then take hold enough that we're having this conversation?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, so I'll be talking to somebody, say, on retreat. And now this is just another one of those little parables that we religious types are so very fond of, okay? So they're telling me this story, and it's along these lines. And then I just realized that suffering is completely unnecessary. And I could just feel and see all of the problems in my life fall away. And the light room was so light. I couldn't believe that anything could be that bright. Then they stop for a minute, and they say, it was really weird.
Okay.
Now, they don't hear themselves say that.
Oh. They don't hear them say what?
They don't hear themselves say, it was so weird.
Oh.
And so what happened to them, without their conscious awareness, is that this amazing life-transforming experience that they had gets filed by conditioned mind under weird things that have happened to me.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a file we're going to open up with great regularity. Right? So in the same way, you're listening to The Mentor all day, you're listening to archives of the radio show, and then what conditioned mind gets you to turn to is this conversation about your wife and what all of that means, and that energy just gets drained away, and you're left concluding that you're in a crisis.
You know, Sherry, what dropped in while you were talking is that I've been practicing so much today, and every day is that, yeah, conditioning is saying, Art, you're weird. You're practicing so much, and it's obviously not working because you're listening to me and believing me when I'm telling you that, you know, all that there's a crisis and that you're weird and all this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we yes, and what we filed this under, and we can go back and visit it often, is this is the kind of stuff that conditioned mind, that egocentricity does to try to keep us in its grip.
Mm-hmm.
Now see, you've now seen that.
Yeah,
so
faring worse. Going farther, faring worse. Yeah.
Exactly. So when a voice, you hear a voice that says, you're really weird with all of this practice, you just
right.
say, uh-huh. And what I choose is, and you just bring your attention back. What I'm grateful for right now is, and when I look around, what
right.
I see that I find to be most beautiful mm-hmm. is this and this, and you
yes.
just flat out ignore it.
Yes, and I've been actually, it's been a beautiful day, parts of it. I've noticed my feet and my shoes and my socks and in my shoes and noticing, yeah, the water. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Now we're not going to go too much in this direction, but I think it's important. You probably know it, but I'm going to say it anyway. The fastest way to get your wife not to want to come back from Florida is to be in an intimate primary relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning
right.
sub-8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you, it's not that is not a fun competitor.
Yeah, and the separation is an illusion, so I know what she's going through. Being
yeah.
in relationship
yeah.
with me being in relationship with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't want to do that. You don't want to do
yeah.
that sort of. And you don't want to allow ego to do that and then blame it on you or her or anything
yeah.
else.
Right.
Because what's the culprit in the situation is the voice in your head.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're going to break up with someone, if you're going to end a relationship, end that one.
Yes. Okay.
Very good. All right.
Thank you, Sherry. All right. Good night.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Michael.
Goodbye.
See you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Art. And, Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good. We like callers.
Yes, we do. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara from Australia.
Well, hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good. Yeah.
Good.
I'm a bit surprised to get through, but it's good.
You were just listening along, huh?
I've just got a quick question about the teacup challenge.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to know, it wasn't clear whether we're counting, catching any bamboozle, or whether we're counting the particular bamboozle for the week.
I count them all. I don't know I don't know if there are rules about it, but I count
okay.
them all. Are you, yeah.
You count them all.
To me, the one of the week is just really helpful to bring that into conscious awareness. But if it's from last week or the week before, I'm going to count it. I'm just so happy I caught it.
Yeah, I figured that was probably... Can't go wrong with that approach, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just really pressed star 6 because I noticed I've had a lot of resistance. I've been sort of part of me has been wanting to call in, and there's been, for whatever reason, quite a lot of resistance, and that I've noticed there's been a lot of resistance in other areas of my life too. So I thought this was an opportunity to go up against it and see what happened.
Good. That's good. That's kind of what we were talking about with Carol a little bit, isn't it? That there's resistance? Okay, well, then that's what I'm going to do. If I'm running into pushback, well, then I'm just going to power right on through this because, I'm not living with inside these walls. I'm not doing it. I will not be controlled. And we can make that statement because life is never controlling us, right? Life is just complete opening to whatever it is that we want to pursue. The ego is constantly controlling, trying to control. So it wants to control, we say no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been sort of, I've just been aware that, so the other thing that I noticed, it sort of became clear during my meditation practice, and I think it's been going on for a while, but conditioning, like, so it's not full-blown kind of dark room situation. It's more like just garden variety, constant kind of more subtle in the background, constant criticism, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that, like, in my meditation practice, it was sort of like, just, you know, constantly critiquing, not doing it right, shouldn't, you know, you're doing that, you shouldn't be doing that. Picking it up during meditation was really helpful because I've been falling for it for a while during meditation. And so this moment happened where I saw clearly what was happening. And then I sort of could see how actually that's been happening constantly everywhere. This just, you know, in the background all the time, this voice kind of, whatever I'm doing, it's not the right thing, something wrong with it. Yeah.
That is so important to see, isn't it?
It really is.
And do you suspect that it's always there to some degree?
I do. I think, Sherry, I felt like this is so familiar to me that I, you know, because I feel like I've come out of this period that was just so intensely difficult, and it's not nearly as intensely difficult. There's still challenges, but, you know, the dark room isn't sort of as dark and the body challenges aren't quite as big and, you know, slowly moving out of that. And in some way, I feel like this other thing that I have sort of noticed has just sort of slipped in there kind of subtly because it's so familiar that it was hard to recognize.
What you're seeing is so important. It's so subtle and so important. So, for a while, you had physical problems. Yeah?
I still do, but they're not as extreme as they were.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you were suffering. Did we agree on that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, that passes. And you're not suffering. So how are you going to be made to continue to give that life force to that system? How are you going to be convinced, excuse me, that you should constantly give attention to that system that is assessing, comparing, judging, deciding, right? So when you're in a lot of pain, say, it's constant. Well, you need to do this. You shouldn't do that. You can't do that. Why did you do that? Maybe if you do that. I don't know, really, but is that kind of similar to what goes on?
Oh, it's just like it's like survival, really. It just becomes, and it also put me in a position where I had to practice like my hair was on fire. You know, otherwise it was unbearable.
Yes.
Really.
And what's unbearable is that system in your head, right?
Yeah.
That's what's unbearable, talking to you about what this is and what it means and what you do and what, you know, all of that. So then the pain subsides some. And so it doesn't have that any longer. So now it just shifts over to what's wrong with you. Why are you doing that? And you're doing that. And that's not good enough. And why did you, and you thought that, and you didn't do that. If you, right? So
yeah.
What you watched, and you're right, it is so familiar, right? Because all that's happened is the content changed and the process, with few variations, has stayed exactly the same. So when you're in pain and it's talking to you about that, it's still about what's wrong with you, what's wrong with this, what's wrong with the circumstances, what are you doing wrong, how has this happened that it's wrong, how is it going to be wrong in the future, right? And then when that goes away, then it's just whatever else you're doing. It's your meditation, it's whatever, how you keep your house, how you fix your food, how you... So the constant is on what the conversation about what's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really subtle. It's really hard to catch on to because the shift in content we are trained to believe makes it a new subject, a new situation. This is different.
Yeah.
It's not different.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, around that, like, so I've developed kind of a different physical challenge this year. And, the other has improved somewhat, and then this new thing has come. And so I think that, too, was sort of like, it was really interesting, Sherry, because it's like, conditioning got to jump onto that as if I've never practiced with physical challenge before and make it into a whole great big thing again.
This is new. This is new.
Yeah. This isn't fair. Oh, no, this is too much. You're not going to, how can this happen? And really kind of, and I just recently like really dropped in. It's like there's always going to, it's like, there's part of me that thinks that at some point my body's all going to be better and that's all going to go away. You know, I'm 57. It's only going to start, things are going to keep happening, and also seeing that that's just life, So my content has been a lot around my body, but for other people it's something else. You know, one thing gets sorted, something else happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing? Given what you just said, and there's nobody listening, there's nobody not listening, just if we just went out across the world, it would be hard-pressed to find too many people who don't have an experience of stuff just happening and stuff just happening and happening and happening and happening and happening. And still... we are convinced, we cling to a belief that what is happening is a mistake, that it shouldn't be, and that one day it's going to be finished, and we are going to, and then we don't, what? Yeah?
Yeah.
And the amount of suffering that comes from that belief.
Yeah. And I sort of, I feel like I sort of fell for it all over again because it was a new thing,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This really isn't fair.
Yeah.
This really isn't fair. Yeah. That other one wasn't fair, but this really isn't fair.
Yeah.
And it just runs all the same stuff. Can you imagine if we were conditioned, and that really is all it is, If we were conditioned to think that every day is going to be a constant series of situations and circumstances that will challenge us, and we get to practice getting through them every day, and at the end of the day, we celebrate all of the things that we learned, everything that we made it through, all of our successes. What would life look like?
Yeah.
But instead, we got, if you were the right person, nothing bad, which means nothing that you don't want, would ever happen to you.
Yeah.
Which is just insane.
It is insane. Yeah, it's... It is. And I just feel really grateful that I was able to press star six, because it's sort of like, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, of course when the bubble bursts, it's so clear to see it, but it's like the more the resistance, the more conditioning just really wants to keep me in that, believing that story, and
absolutely,
it just bursts the bubble.
Yes. And you know, Barbara, because we can't always press star six and, you know, get to another human being to have this. And we do always have the mentor, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes, when depending on the level of resistance, getting to the mentor can be super challenging. So one of the things that we can do is just find anybody, and just say, can I tell you a little bit about the resistance that I'm experiencing right now? And you just talk about what's going on, because in doing that, we disidentify. That's what bursts the bubble, which is why there's so much, you can't talk about that, you can't say that, you can't let anybody know that you think that you feel that way. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can often get to the recorder and say that into the recorder, but really, I mean, it's hilarious. You'd think someone was asking me to walk over burning coals.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, once it bursts, and once we're in the light room again, we look at it. It's, how is that possible? How is it possible that we get bamboozled like that? That we fall for it? That resistance starts and we believe it, that we get into those insane conversations in our head. How does that happen to us over and over and over and over? But it does.
Clearly it does.
That much we know, it does.
Well, thanks so much, Sherry, and thank you, Michael.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'm so glad. It's lovely being here in the light room together, isn't it?
It is. It's a vastly better place to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, take good care of yourself.
I will. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. Another set of wonderful reminders for all of us, Sherry.
Yeah, and I finally learned not to say goodnight to Barbara, since I happen to know that it's somewhere around 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, or, you know, all of that. But I'm always happy with those little practice triumphs, you know?
That expanded awareness really comes in handy, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It says, no, it's morning where she is. Don't say goodnight.
Wow.
Do we have time for somebody else, Michael?
Well, it's 6:04 right now by my clock.
Then I'm guessing not, huh?
I think we're past that for today.
Gosh, I must have really had a good time, because that seemed to go by very, very quickly for me. So,
yes,
so thank
it
you,
did,
Sarah.
And it was super helpful. So thank you very much.
Well, you are very welcome, and I'll talk to you pretty soon, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you, Sherry.
All right, and to you, I'll say good night.
Okay, you too. Good night.
Bye-bye.